Welcome to Timeless Treasures from God's Word, a preaching ministry of the late Reverend Howard E. Tucker, former pastor of the Calvary Presbyterian Church in Wilkinsburg, Pennsylvania, whose radio ministry was heard for many years on KDKA every Sunday night. Voiced by his son Timothy, we hope these messages will inspire and challenge you and bring many to a saving knowledge of Christ as Savior. Now, here's Tim.
Special greetings to each and every one of you who has taken the time to join us tonight for our program. Hopefully this will be an encouragement, this message, to everyone. I'd like to share a message, in fact, that my father gave on the radio some years entitled Rejoicing in Christ, the Believers All. It's from the book of Philippians. My father was a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary and Wheaton College, and you can listen to other broadcasts that we've done by taking your smartphone or computer, and in the search bar, just type in Timeless Treasures from God's Word. Well, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul, together with Silas, Timothy, and Luke, took the gospel into Europe for the first time. They started at Philippi, the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a Roman colony. After a woman named Lydia in her household had been saved, the encouraging beginning seemed to be stopped when Paul and Silas were cast into prison because Paul had cast a demon out of a girl fortune teller. Prison walls, however, can't stop the gospel, so at midnight when Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God in the hearing of the other prisoners, suddenly the power of God caused a great earthquake to hit the area so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, the doors were open, and the prisoners' chains fell off of them. The jailer fell at the feet of Paul and Silas and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They gave him the answer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." He did believe. He was saved. The church at Philippi began right there in the prison. This all happened on Paul's second missionary journey. During his third journey, he stopped there twice more, and it became one of the finest churches he founded. Then, when he was a prisoner again, but in a different prison, this time at Rome, where ultimately he was to die as a Christian martyr, he wrote a letter to them, and we know it as the Book of Philippians in our Bibles today. The chief theme in his letter to them is the title of our message tonight, Rejoicing in Christ, the Believers All. A few things may be thought of in particular for helping to cause Paul to write to them. They had, as at previous times, sent him a gift according to Philippians 4:18, and he was writing to thank them for it. Also, two women in the church had created a little rift among them, according to Philippians 4, verse 2, and he wanted them to get that settled so that nothing would hinder their wonderful testimony for the Lord. And then, too, Epaphroditus, who had brought the gift to him, had fallen sick at Rome. The news had reached Philippi, and then news of their concern for him had come back to Rome. So Paul mentions him with deep appreciation, and evidently the healed Epaphroditus took Paul's letter to Philippi personally. Philippians primarily concerns Christian experience, which someone has said so well, is not so much something that is going on around us, but something that is going on within us. Paul himself was a living example of this at the time he wrote to them, because he rejoiced in the Lord even though he was in prison, in danger of his life, and in Philippians 4, verse 11, he said, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content." The letter's key verse is the fourth verse of chapter 4, which says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Some form of the words joy and rejoice is used 18 times in the four chapters, 5 times in chapter 1, 7 times in chapter 2, 2 times in chapter 3, and 4 times in chapter 4. Happiness may depend upon what happens to us, but true joy depends on Christ alone. The theme of the book, Rejoicing in Christ, the Believers All, we will follow in each chapter by merely changing the last word. In chapter 1, it is Rejoicing in Christ, the Believer's Life. In chapter 2, it is Rejoicing in Christ, the Believer's Example. In chapter 3, it is Rejoicing in Christ, the Believer's Object. In chapter 4, it is Rejoicing in Christ, the Believer's Sufficiency. If you'd like words to start with the same letter, you can substitute for life, example, object, and sufficiency the four words principle, pattern, prize, and power. Two other approaches that many people have found very helpful are first to think of each chapter as looking, so that chapter 1 is looking inward, chapter 2 is looking backward, chapter 3 is looking forward, and chapter 4 is looking upward. And then secondly, you can think of each chapter with a word for the state of your mind, so that chapter 1 is the gospel mind, chapter 2 is the humble mind, chapter 3 is the eager mind, and chapter 4 is the contented mind. Then too, of course, it is helpful to consider key verses in each chapter, which we will do briefly in a moment. First, however, let's get back to the main theme of the letter firmly in our thinking, rejoicing in Christ the believers all. The world, of course, will not understand when the spiritual Christian makes this claim. The unbeliever needs so many, many things to cause rejoicing. What the true believer knows, though, from experience, is that things never do bring true joy, but only Christ alone. You can have everything your heart desires, but if you don't have Christ, those things simply will not be sufficient. On the other hand, the believer may have few or none of those things, but because he has Christ, he can rejoice. A little girl in Sunday school one day unintentionally changed Psalm 23:1 from, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," to, "The Lord is my shepherd, and he's all that I want." There is the secret of true joy or rejoicing. We see in chapter 1, rejoicing in Christ, the believer's life. The key verse is 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Substitute anything you wish in the first part of that verse for Christ, and no matter what it is, you'll have to change the last part of the verse to, "And to die is loss," rather than gain. Someone asked about a man who had died, how much he had left behind him. The reply was simply, "Everything." Christ is our life, not only during the few brief years we spend down here on earth, but for all eternity with him in heaven. We don't get eternal life when we die, but at the moment we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now we see in chapter 2, rejoicing in Christ, the believer's example. The key verse is 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The following verses show how the Son of God became man in order to die on the cross for our sins. Now remember, Christ can never become your example until he first becomes your Savior. Without his spiritual, eternal life within us and the power of the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to follow his example. It, of course, is not mere imitation, but as chapter 1 indicated, it is his life imparted to us and lived out in our lives. We see in chapter 3, rejoicing in Christ, the believer's object. The key verses are 13 and 14. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The unbeliever constantly strives after false objects in life. This must not be so with the believer in Christ, who has him as the only true object or goal in everything in the race of life. We see in chapter 4, rejoicing in Christ, the believer's sufficiency. The key verses are 13 and 19. "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And then, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The humblest Christian has the mighty power of God available to him. With Christ, it is impossible, difficult, done, if we simply let him be sufficient for our need. All the power that science can manufacture today in our space age, which fills the world with fear, is just a small firecracker compared to the power of Christ, in whom the true believer rejoices constantly. Well, this is simply a tantalizing taste of the book of Philippians. Read through the 104 verses you find in it, and they will bless your heart. You realize, I'm sure, from our survey tonight that this is far different from anything the peace of mind cults offer to you. This is the real thing from God, who holds your life in his hands. You can't be neutral about him. You either believe and obey his word or you don't. You either receive his Son as your Savior or continue to reject him, thus determining your eternal destiny as well as your brief life here on this earth. I hope you can say with thousands of other Christians listening, "Yes, I'm rejoicing in Christ, the believer's all." If not, receive him in faith as your Savior right now, and then you'll be able to do so immediately. If you are a believer in Christ, then praise Him that He is your all, and He is everything you need, so that the Holy Spirit can demonstrate in your life the reality of His presence, so that others will be attracted to receive Christ as their Savior too. If you never have received Christ as your personal Savior, why don't you do that right here and now? In your hearts before the Lord, just admit to Him that you're a sinner. Agree with Him that you're a sinner, that you're lost, that you deserve His judgment. Then repent, turn away from your life of sin, and follow Christ, believing in your heart that Jesus died a painful death on the cross for you on the cross. He shed His precious, precious blood so that your sins could be completely removed and cleansed. And then He rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures, to prove once and for all that He is the source of life. He is the source of eternal life, and that He is the only way, if you place your trust in Him, that you will have eternal life. You can't work your way to heaven. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So right now, in your heart, trust in Christ as your Savior. Give your life to Him. And then He promises you eternal life. He promises you an abundant life, which He came to give. He promised to give you hope and joy and peace in your life that you can rejoice about. And that's because when we accept Christ as our Savior, He gives us His Holy Spirit, who comes within us and indwells within us, and is the source of the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, that we don't have in ourselves, that He gives to us so abundantly. Place your faith in Christ right now.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. We hope and pray this message was a blessing to you. You may receive a free written copy by emailing us at tptuck51@gmail.com or by calling 412-337-3858. Our mailing address is Timeless Treasures from God's Word, 147 Crescent Garden Drive, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15235. Please join us next week at this time over this fine radio station, Word FM. Till then, walk with the Lord in the light of His Word.